Good morning. Welcome to St. Mark's Lutheran Church on another day that we get to celebrate. We're calling it Celebration Sunday, and this fourth Sunday after Pentecost. Today we get to do what you see painted there on the back wall. First, in worship, we get to glorify God like we do every Sunday. We also get to grow in His grace through His Word, but especially that last one we're going to focus on today in worship, the go with the gospel part. We're going to talk about what happens when we do go with the gospel. It brings visible results. You can tell things grow because it brings visible results. So we'll celebrate that fact today. We'll also have a shortened worship service today, so keep that in mind. If you're visiting with us this Sunday, remember, services aren't always this short. It's just a special Sunday where at the end of the service, we'll get to get a tour of the campus and see the ministries that are going on. Today, we'll also get to celebrate by partaking of the Lord's Supper together, so prepare your minds and your hearts to receive the body and blood of the Lord. If you're not a member of St. Mark's, I direct your attention to the paragraph on the inside part of the bulletin that helps explain the Lord's Supper. If you have any questions, you can see myself or Pastor Colander after the service. Well, let us begin worship with the invocation on page 3 in your bulletins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We sing our opening hymn, Blessed Jesus at Your Word, number 221. Please note we'll sing verses 1 and 2. Please stand. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord.
It is good to praise the Lord and to make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night.
From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path.
Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness,
but will have the light of life.
Let us confess our sins to God and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth.
In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me, according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated. The first lesson this morning comes from Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. This will also serve as the sermon text for today. From Jonah chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, and covered himself with sackcloth and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw that what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. The word of the Lord. Now hear a song from the choir entitled, Come Christians, Join to Sing. Second lesson this morning comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. Here we see Paul recognize that the Colossians could show that the gospel is really working in their hearts. From Colossians chapter 1. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. The word of the Lord. Now please stand in honor of the words of Jesus. The gospel lesson this morning comes from Mark chapter 4, where we see that even though we might not see the gospel working, we know it works, we don't know how, and it also works a lot more than we can expect sometimes. From Mark chapter 4. Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again, he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable, but when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day. Come, you thankful people, come. God's grace be yours in abundance, brothers and sisters. Amen. The devotion text for this morning comes from Jonah chapter 3, but let us begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips. My mouth will declare your power. Amen. It was a city of 500,000 people, which was a lot back then. It was a city, they say, that had 100-foot-tall walls where chariots, three of them, side by side by side, could roll around the top of them. It was a city with surrounding suburbs that took 3 days to travel through. It was the capital city of one of, if not the most powerful nation on earth at that time. It was a city full of evil, idolatrous, cruel, violent, torturous people, especially when it came to captured enemies. And along comes one prophet with a funny foreign accent and a simple message who might still have smelled like the inside of a fish. When we think about a battle against all odds in Scripture, a lot of times we think David and Goliath, right? Maybe we need to start talking about Jonah and the city of Nineveh. If you don't know the story of Jonah, I'll give you a quick synopsis of the first two chapters out of the four. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, and he was to go share a message with the people of Nineveh, Israel's rival, and they were cruel. Jonah, instead, bolts the opposite direction. Hops a boat in the Mediterranean Sea towards Spain. Storm came. He knew it was from God. He told people, and they threw him overboard. He was sinking down into the water when God suddenly sent a big fish to swallow him up to preserve his life. After 3 days, now humbled, the fish vomited Jonah up onto the shore. Then graciously, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. This time, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. And he proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's the message he got to share with a cruel, evil people. But it was a message that not just showed God's justice in punishing evil, it also showed his grace in giving an evil people 40 days to respond to that message. Jonah knew the power of that message. That's why he went in the opposite direction. He didn't want this evil people to hear God's powerful message of threats and his even more powerful message of mercy and forgiveness. We give Jonah a hard time a lot of times for at first being disobedient and then later on being grumpy. But at least Jonah knew the power of that message. That's something you and I need a reminder of every now and then. Look at the message Jonah had to share with an evil, torturous people. It was all about destruction. And yet, how often do we forget the power of the message of, no, God's clear that this sin is a sin. Or yes, an unending hell awaits those who reject God's grace. These are tough messages to share, right? And we do so tactfully and with respect and gentleness, and yet how often do we fail to share them? And I don't think that has as much to do about fear as it does a failure to recognize the power that's there. We see the evil people all around us, and we assume that they won't be interested in such a message. And we assume that, well, they couldn't possibly have a godly response to such a message. And so we fail to show it, fail to share it. It's like we think the odds are against us or something. Battle against all odds. Jonah knew the opposite. And he knew that the Ninevites would eventually know the opposite too. Look at what happens when Jonah does share that message with this evil, torturous people. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. The Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, a sign of repentance. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth, another sign of repentance. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust, another sign of repentance. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. This was a powerful, evil, idolatrous, torturous king of one of the, if not the, most powerful nation on earth. And God's message struck his heart and all of the peoples. Christ later would commend them for their faith, not just in God's threats, but in him. How do you know? Look at the results. They fasted. They put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least. They even put sackcloth on their animals, for crying out loud. And they recognized who the God was that they were pleading to. They said, who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger. The fruit of that message was visible for all to see. It was an outward change that showed that there was an inward change. So when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. Grace given, just as God had hoped and planned. That's why he gave the message. It's the same message we have. Law and gospel, threats and comfort of forgiveness. Same spirit-powered message. You and I might feel like foreigners in this culture. We can see all the evil all around us. We might not have 100-foot-tall walls between us and others, but we have a lot of barriers. And we can see the evil of others and think that they might not respond in a good, godly way, but God's message is still striking hearts. How do you know? Just look at ours. You and I were just as evil, whether in different or similar ways. You and I came to know the power of God's threats, but also his more powerful grace. We've got it written on our walls. We've got it portrayed in paintings and pictures. We sing about it in hymns. Forms the basis of our prayers and of our worship. Take a look around, and you'll get a chance to take a look around today as you walk throughout campus. Take a look around and see the fruit of the message that we get to share, that law and gospel message. You and I know the power of that message. We've experienced it. So we have no excuse to doubt the power. Are you going to convert 500,000 people in the span of a few days? Maybe. It's happened before. Who knows? God may yet strike the heart of that person you know. Who knows? God may yet bring forth fruit from that message you share, even years from now. Who knows? God may have that message catch fire and spread. Who knows? Jonah knew. The Ninevites eventually knew. We know. And thanks be to God, others will come to know the power of that message too. Amen. Please stand. May God's message of grace in Christ be with you day by day and always. Amen. You can get a nice stretch in. Turn a little bit, and when you're ready, you may be seated for the offering. join our minds and hearts in the prayer of the church as well as the Lord's Prayer after that. Please note that we are speaking the NIV version of the Lord's Prayer now. We pray. God of all mercy, please solidify the message of your resurrected Son in the hearts of Jerry, Debbie, Kathy, and Karen, the friends of Cheryl McLagan, who are in critical condition after a car accident this past week, as well as Gordon Rusk, the father of Melissa Hioko, who was experiencing chest pain yesterday, as well as Robert Lawson, who's undergoing a medical procedure this week. Let the power of your presence give them strength. Give it to their families, give it to their friends, all through this difficult time. We also ask that you be with the family of Leon Raglan, who was taken to his eternal home this past week. Help them not to mourn as those who have no hope, but comfort them with the certainty of Christ's resurrection. Continue always to reassure us that because he lives, we too shall live. Lord, we also ask that you bless Roger Riedel, who has accepted a call to be a pastor at Grace Aronico in Minnesota. Continue to strike and comfort hearts through his work on your behalf, so more people can know the power of your message. God, our Father, please also show your grace and love to all fathers today. Help them reflect that love to their families for the sake of your glory. Heavenly Father, make the power of your word evident in our lives and show us always your love for us through your Son, our Savior Jesus, who also taught us to pray.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may please stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Please stand for prayer and to receive the blessing. We pray. Give power to your word, O Lord, that the lips which have praised you here may glorify you in the world, that the eyes which have seen the coming of your Son may long for his coming again, and that all who have received in his true body and blood the pledge of your forgiveness may be restored to live a new and holy life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. You may be seated for our closing hymn, hymn number 322. Please note we'll sing the first two verses. Good morning again. It's a pleasure glorifying God with you this morning. We'll also get to grow in his grace here soon in Bible study. And may God bless you as you go with the gospel this week. Before we get to all of that, in just a moment we'll have a couple of St. Mark's members come up and share what St. Mark's means to them. Kind of introduce what we're doing today. A couple announcements before we do that though. Not Without Purpose commitment forms are being asked to be returned next Sunday. Next Sunday, I believe there's a place over there where you can, in the lobby, where you can return those. So Not Without Purpose commitment forms returned next Sunday. Next Sunday is also a stained glass dedication service, so we'll have the stained glass installed this week. And there'll be some instructions soon on what we're doing yet today with the tour. But before we do that, I'm going to call Mike Rosted to come forward.
Good morning. For me, St. Mark's has always been about our Christian family. My parents were founding members of this church, and I have witnessed many of its milestones. As an infant, I was in my mother's arms for the original groundbreaking and later baptized by Pastor Fransman. I remember playing with scrap wooden blocks as we built the first school classroom over there. I later graduated from that same school building and was confirmed in the shadows of the support beams as we constructed the new church here. My wife and I have attended a Bible information class and were married by Pastor Gerlach. One of the highlights of that day for us was our reception afterwards. We were joined by many of our church friends, including the church choir. Joan and I are both tenors in the choir, and it has always been a joy to practice and sing for you during services. Over time, we have said our goodbyes to people transferring to other churches and welcomed new members into St. Mark's. We've also been blessed with our daughter Heidi, who has also been baptized here, graduated from our school, and confirmed. Her time in school led us into closer friendship with many of the people here at St. Mark's. In recent years, many of you have joined us. For my parents' victory celebrations, the presence of so many of our Christian family at those times has been a source of great joy and strength. Joan, Heidi, and I are only children. You, the members of St. Mark's, have always been our brothers and sisters, our mentors, and examples. Thank you for all your support in all the years. Thank you. One of my fellow choir members, Penny, now.
Okay, so obviously family is important to us. Hi, my name is Penny Beauchamp, and I'm one of the earliest members of St. Mark's also. My dad was being transferred from the Midwest to California in 1973. They could have moved anywhere in the state, but Mom and Dad were looking at all the Wells churches in the state, and they came to St. Mark's, and they felt immediately at home. So we moved to Sacramento. I actually went to school here for 7th and 8th grade. What does St. Mark's mean to me? It also means family. Some of you watched me grow from a little kid in Mr. Sauer's classrooms to the adult I am now. You supported me with letters and cards when I went to New Ulm at Dr. Martin Luther College. You celebrated my wedding with about 30 years ago, and you cried with me at my mom's funeral. All of you are brothers and sisters through our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We worship, study God's word, and pray together. We console each other with a plan of God's salvation when a loved one dies. When your child is baptized, we, your brothers and sisters in the faith, promise to assist in whatever manner possible so that your young one remains a child of God until death. St. Mark's School was open to help fulfill this promise. We celebrate when you or your child is confirmed into the faith. We watch as children grow older, go to college, and get married. And we serve the Lord together. We don't graduate after confirmation. Instead, we grow in our faith, and in doing so, we serve the Lord. Just like we have chores to do at home, there are things to do in the Lord's house. Telling others of his love for them, assisting in Sunday school or vacation Bible school, serving on a board, sharing your musical talents, whether it be musical or instrumental, and cleaning the church, even pulling a few weeds. All these are ways that we can help with the Lord's house. Every Sunday morning, one of my joys is greeting all the people, especially in early church service. I'm greeting my brothers and my sisters. Thank you for being my family. And now Tom Schlinhart will come up and tell us how we're going to do the rest of the morning.
Good morning. We had to shorten service so that you could all get an answer to that burning question: what wards help support the wonderful ministry here at St. Mark's? So we're asking for a few minutes of your time to go around the campus, and it'll be a very short presentation by our 6 boards, just a few minutes, and then if you want to come back here a few minutes before 10 o'clock for Bible class, you can do so.
If you have children, they can be dismissed now to go to their Sunday school classroom. So Mr. Baker and I will hand out cards. When you get the colored cards, like we did before when we had the listening sessions, go into the church lobby, narthex, entrance, whatever you want to call it, and there will be a person holding up that card. They will direct you around the campus. Like I say, it'll only take a few minutes, and then after that time, you can go into the gym where there'll be other displays or come back here for Bible class. So with that, we'll dismiss you one row at a time. Thank you.